All right. I think by way of review, we're going to read again 1 Timothy 5. So if you want to turn there, I also want us to read again in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, as we discuss these things. So I guess I'll turn to 1 Timothy first. And again, I just want to read that. We're gonna spend a little bit of time still here in 1 Timothy, but not too much. As we discuss our service to one another and thinking through these things. So again, like I said, last week we started talking about meeting the needs of others. The week before that, we had talked about the early church and their devotion to one another and selling the things they had to meet the needs of those within the church. And so we talked about that, and we talked about how the church, that the priority that there is in the church, and where we start when thinking about whose needs do we meet, and where did we say we start with that? Believers, right, from within the church, right, that the priority of the church is meeting needs from the inside out. And we look to Galatians 6, 9 and 10 in talking about that, right, which says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And so the priority there is the church, and we discussed that. We discussed, too, if we can't even love each other here together as brothers and sisters in Christ, of having the unity of the Spirit and being one in the gospel, if we can't serve and love each other here, how are we going to go out into the world and serve the world that does not have those things in common with us? The world that actually opposes those things that we hold dear and because of those things often will oppose us. How are we going to love the world if we can't even love each other here? And that was just one reason why we gave and talked about why the church, serving the church is a priority, in that we work and serve from the inside out, not the other way around. And then we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and read through verses 3 through 17. I think we only talked through up to verse 8 last time. As we, again, discuss priority and what are we thinking about, how are we thinking about meeting needs, and what needs should we meet? Are we called to meet every single need that there is out there that comes by our way, or at least every claim to need? Or are there things that we need to sift through and be wise about and think about how we meet those needs? And so we talked about that with 1 Timothy chapter 5. We talked about, and again, this is talking about, you, for the most part, financial or material needs that someone may have. But we discussed here looking at what is a genuine need and deciphering what genuine needs are. Because just because someone may say they have a need or feel that they have a need doesn't really mean they have a need. And so looking at the situation, and so that's what we looked at with caring for the widows, specifically in the church there, that's there in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And as we talk about, too, as we said, genuine needs, and meeting genuine needs as a means of loving each other and serving others, I don't want us to get the wrong idea that, you know, that means that as we look at different ways that we might think to serve each other and show each other love and express our love and appreciation for someone, well, that person doesn't have a genuine need, so I have no way of really expressing my gratitude or my love for them, or I have no way of serving them because, well, I don't really see a genuine need. I don't want us to confuse the issues that are before us. So if I could just give an example. So the one time one of you heard what my favorite cookie was, right? And so baked me a batch of those cookies. Now, was that a need that I had? No. And especially my waistline would tell you that was certainly not a need. Was it still a kind gesture of love and kindness and serving me in that way? Sure, absolutely. And I greatly appreciated that. And that was a great gesture and a way of showing love and a way of service. But what we're talking about here is when there are those that reach out with needs, that we're going to utilize certain resources, and we have, as a church, a limited amount of resources. We have, as individuals, as members of the church, a limited amount of resources. So in that function of meeting such needs in that way, how do we decipher what those things are? And so we discussed what we're called to do and what we're, our limits are in these things. And so as 1 Timothy 5 addresses widows, it addresses widows indeed. And so would not be a woman who has children or grandchildren. As we talked about the points of responsibility in one's life, responsible for one's family. We even touched a little bit on personal responsibility and one working to support themselves and their family. But now, too, we also talked about not helping in such a way that enables sin. If someone's in a need and where they're at because of sin in their life, we don't want to enable that sin. Or two, if it's because of some kind of oppression or some situation that someone else has put on somebody else's sin, we don't want to make their situation worse either. And so we discussed those things. And so, again, just by way of review, let's read through 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 17 again. And even though I'm going to mention, too, talking about meeting needs really stops at verse 8, he does come back around to it at the end in verse 16, and that's why I want to read through verse 16 here. So, honor widows who are truly widows, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplication and prayer night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them, let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Now, one place we started in this series, again, was the importance of knowing God's word, right? And we talked about the importance of reading and studying and memorizing scripture for ourselves, being in the word ourselves, to really know and internalize God's word. And we discussed the necessity of that to know God, because we know him through his word. And we discussed the necessity of that to battle sin in our personal lives. And so, also, too, we discussed in functioning together as a church, to know our gifts, to know how we are to be a church together, to know how we are to serve what we're called to as a church together, as individual members as well. And we talked about that. And so we discussed the call then last week of meeting genuine needs that and not enabling sin, not making a situation worse. And so discerning what is a genuine need, discerning what is something that someone is in the situation they're in because of choices they made in their own sin, and also how we might make a situation worse, all of that takes discernment, all of that takes wisdom, and takes discernment and wisdom that does come, again, from God's word. And so even as we're discussing this and talking about meeting each other's needs, it should be driving us back to God's word. and saying, I need myself to know God's word as best I can. If I'm going to be part of meeting needs of others, if I'm going to be part of the body functioning together, corporately serving each other and serving those even outside the church, I need to know what that looks like. I need to know God's word as best I can for myself. And so I just want to throw this out there again as just another encouragement, another motivation for us digging into God's word and spending time prioritizing that in our lives. I read a quote from Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker's book, Just Thinking About the State, and another quote from that is this. They said, what the church is to do and not do, and how individuals who represent the church are to respond to those who have needs, it requires the believer in Christ to really know their Bible, understand it, and be ready to act and respond to those they see who have legitimate needs, while understanding that the local church is not called to address every need or want around it. And so again, we need to exercise wisdom. We need to be in God's word and have discernment to be able to be doing these things that we're talking about here this morning. So any questions on that? That makes... Right.
As this suggests, remarries. Then again becomes a widow, say, in her 70s. Is she considered, you know, having been married once at that point? Qualifies? Obviously, she's never had an opportunity to have kids in the second one.
Sure. I think that's talking about sexual morality. Mm-hmm. And so I would argue that it's talking about her faithfulness to the one man she has. And so, yeah, I would take that position that she would still qualify. Right. Sure. There is debate on those things. Sure. Absolutely. Good point. So, again, like I said, we're not staying here in 1 Timothy 5. Because, again, the issues of caring for the widows, I think, goes up to verse 8. And then after that, it's talking about enrolling those who are eligible to serve. But... Again, when we jump to verse 16, we see Peter or Paul coming back around to what he's been talking about. He comes full circle again in his argument. And so again, verse 16 says, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows. So what would... put a widow, just to discuss this for a moment so we understand more of context, what would put a widow in such dire situations that they were in such need there in the Roman culture was that being without a man, she may not have the opportunity or the ways of providing for herself, and so could cause her without a husband to be destitute, for a husband to supply for her and to meet her needs. That's how that culture worked. And so often she was unable to meet her needs and fell into destitute when her husband died. And so what we see, again, Paul here is saying is that he's talking about serving the needs of widows. And then he talks about widows who can serve. And then he comes back around again to women who are believers with relatives who are widows. And that those women... they have a responsibility to their family members who can't take care of themselves. They are responsible to care for them. And we see, too, Paul gives a reason for this, and that it's so the church will not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows, for those who don't have family members to care for them. And so, again, the church only has limited resources, so we have to be wise with how we use those resources and use them to the best extent that we can. And so, therefore, if there are those who have others who can meet those needs, so they aren't considered genuine widows, then those who are responsible for them should meet those needs. And again, so how are we working through that and saying, okay, what's the situation we're trying to meet? Is there someone else that should be meeting this situation? Someone else who should be meeting this need, so that we can care for those who don't have someone else and that we have those resources before us. It takes wisdom in that and working through that. But as we talk about this, again, this is discussing material and financial needs. And so that's where we started last week and where I wanted to wrap that up here this morning. But are material and financial needs the only kind of needs that there are in the church or out in the world or whatever it is? No. There is a plethora of needs that are there to be met. There are relational needs, right? Either because of someone's relationship, maybe their marriage relationship or another family member, something of conflict or something, or maybe it's just even relationship in the sense of this person's lonely. And maybe they, for whatever reason, need someone to be reaching out to them and doing different things. So there could be these relationship needs. There can be emotional needs. There could be physical needs where someone can't do something for themselves. We've talked about with the care groups that if someone has surgery or someone's sick or whatever the situation may be, where if we can get together and put a schedule together, so they need, for instance, their house to be cleaned. And they can't really get to it themselves or do it themselves because of their situation, so can we band together to meet that need and help them and be on a schedule to clean their house? Or, you know, that's just one example. There could be a plethora of things that relate to someone's physical needs, and how can we help them with that? Maybe it's getting around. They need to get to a doctor appointment. They can't drive. They can't whatever it might be. Can we be there and help with those things? But then, too, there's also what? There's also spiritual needs, right? And, you know, someone needing discipleship. Or maybe someone has fallen into sin, and if we notice that, what are we called to do, right? We're called to do what? Approach them, right? Galatians 6 says, with gentleness, right? With a gentle spirit and humility, that we don't fall into sin, too. That we're supposed to approach them and approach them privately, right? We've discussed that. But again, too, it could be discipleship. Someone just needs someone to come alongside of them and mentor them and help them grow. And we've discussed before when we were in Titus how the church should be set up for the older or the more mature to come alongside the younger or less mature and teach them and help them to grow. We should be set up that way. We should be desiring that. Where are we in our walk? Is there someone that, one, can come alongside of us? And maybe that might take you, if you're saying, man, I had someone to come alongside of me, maybe go ask someone. Maybe say, hey, I recognize you can help me and help me grow. And if there's someone where you're thinking, listen, I want to also build into someone else, well, who's someone that you can approach? Say, hey, can you and I get together and go through a book of the Bible, or you know, there's books that are really helpful for discipleship specifically. You know, we even talked about one that if you're desiring that to see your deacon or see myself, there's the Christian Life and Growth notebooks that are for discipleship that we can work through together. And so you can talk to your deacon or talk to me about being involved with that in some way and working through that yourself or to do it with someone else. We have those things. And so are there those that you can invest in or those that you can seek out to invest in you? There are spiritual needs, right? And those things are important and vital. And they are things that all of us are to be involved in. And all of these needs that we're talking about, we're all to be involved in meeting needs together within the church. And two, if we're going out into the community to meet needs out in the community, then together as a church, we should be doing that. All of us involved, all of us working together to meet these things for ourselves. I mean, we have Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, right? It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We're to be doing this with each other. We're to be coming alongside each other, that each of us together are pressing each other and holding each other accountable, that we would be all working together and all doing our part in loving each other, in serving each other, in doing good works. We're all to be part of this and all to be pushing each other and growing each other in being part of this and serving one another. And recognizing, too, in that, that none of us are where any of us should be, right? None of us are. And this is part of our sanctification, I believe, our service and love towards one another. And so none of us are where we should be, and that includes ourselves, right? And we got to remember sanctification is not just an instantaneous thing for any of us. And so again, that we need each other to be spurring one another on in these things. And so again, if you see that there's someone that you can be invested in, say, you know what, I think I can come alongside this person and walk with them, that they would be growing in the Lord. And guess what? In that too, guess who else is going to grow in the Lord? Yeah, you are, as you disciple them and walk with them. That's going to cause you to grow. But then too, for yourself, seeking out someone that can come alongside of you to help you grow and walk. We all got to be part of that together. And too, I think in meeting these needs together, it takes knowing each other, right? It takes spending time together, knowing if someone's lonely, knowing if someone is struggling with sin. It takes being someone who is seen as a trusted person, right? Because if someone, if they don't trust you, are they going to come and confess their sin to you? No. It takes us walking with the Lord ourselves. But again, it takes knowing each other. We would grow together to be able to invest in each other and trust each other. To know what the struggles that are there. Again, if someone's lonely, if they have sin, if someone has worries or fears. And thinking about, okay, what love can we share together in the friendship that we have together as one another in the body? To grow together. To care for one another. This is all of our jobs. We're all responsible. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Exhort one another every day. Exhort one another. Each of us exhorting each other. We're all involved in that. As long as it's called today. And so, think too, how am I, what am I doing? What is my part? Am I playing my part? And I'd like us to think about, what did we commit to when we took up membership? Didn't we commit to each other in that membership? Yeah, we did. And so in that commitment to one another, what are we playing our part to fulfill that commitment? How am I serving others? How am I investing in each one of us here in the church? This is how, what we all need to be asking of ourselves. Not looking and saying, well, how are they over there investing? No, that's not how the game works. How are you? You need to be asking about yourself. I need to be asking about myself. Right? How am I playing my part to invest in one another, to minister and serve each other, to love each other? How am I using my time? How am I using my resources, whether it's my finances or whatever it might be? We give time to the things that we make priorities, right? We give time to the things that we want to do. And so is this something that we want to invest time in? Yeah, that's going to take sacrifice. That means there's going to be things I can't do, right? But is it worth it for us to love each other and invest in one another, to do our part? Because as we do our part, what are we doing? We're building up the body. As we do our part, each one playing the role that they have here in the church, and every one of us has a role, we are in this investment in one another, growing the body together. The body is building itself up and building itself up in love. And so that's where I want you to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 4, starting there in verse 11. Whoop. Okay, and we've gone over this passage before, so this isn't new. But starting there in verse 11, and we'll read through 16. It says, and he gave, so talking about Christ, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So the saints, all of us together, to be doing the work of the ministry. There's the leadership that Christ gave to the church. And yes, the leadership is to be involved in the ministry, doing the ministry as a member of the church. But the leadership's job given by Christ, why he gave the leadership to the church, is for the leadership to equip the church to be doing the ministry, equipping the church through the Word of God. And so through God's Word, we all together are to be doing the work of the ministry. And again, so he says, so he gave apostles, he gave prophets, evangelists. Obviously, these two, first two were for the beginning of the church, and I don't believe have carried on. But evangelists and shepherds and teachers, I think that goes together. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, or when each one is doing their part, you can also say, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so that's what we're talking about here. The body building itself up in love. And clearly we see in this that every member of the body has a role to play in that. And so we will eventually, I'm trying to hold off, I don't know that I can, even already jumping into this, I'm trying to hold off till we get into 1 Peter 4 to start talking about the gifts and things, because maybe I'll just find a way to avoid it when we go over that. But we each have a part to do. We're members with a role to play. And God has equipped us in the power of His Spirit. Christ has given us gifts in order to fulfill that role. And so part of this is knowing what our role is. And that is knowing, okay, well, what are the gifts? How does that relate to me? What are the gifts that I have? Right? And again, I don't want to get too far into this because we'll talk about the gifts at another point. But looking at, okay, how do I know what my gifts are? What am I doing? Also, too, I think part of it is part of finding out what your gifts are, too, but part of our service is saying, okay, what needs are there in the church, and how can I fulfill that need? If I see a need, if I recognize, you know what, this could be helpful for the church and for making disciples, this could be helpful for, you know, whatever it is, as we look to the Scriptures to see how is the church supposed to function and be together, well, how can I fill that need? Is there a ministry that I can start, you know, and talk with me, and, you know, we can see if that fits with where, you know, the direction of the church and what the Scriptures say the purpose of the church is, and or seeing where there's just some weakness. How can you fill the gaps? But also, too, looking at knowing each other and saying, okay, as we know each other, what can I do for you? what can I do to serve you that you can be built up in love? And then as we're all doing that, someone's eventually going to come around to me and say, what can they do for me that I would be built up in love? And then the church is building itself up in love as each one is doing their part. And so we have to understand, I know this is a corny phrase, but the church is not a spectator sport, right? I know for many in the culture, especially I know in this area, you know, that it can become that, because so much of church for us is, and I'm talking about the area, and I'm sure it's overall too, I'm not saying here, but in the area, so much of church is that we come to the service, we sit there, we watch the service, and so for many in the area, church is a spectator sport, at least in how they function in the church. But let us do everything we can that we become a light in darkness like that, that shows this is what the church is supposed to look like, right? That it's not a spectator sport, that we're all involved, all building each other up and investing in one another, doing our part as we are equipped from the Word to do our part. What is the Word calling us to do? What has God said that the church is to be and how it's supposed to function and look like? How can I play a part in that, right? And asking those things. Any questions on this so far? Any thoughts? Yeah. Sure. Sure, absolutely. And we keep each other from getting burned out. It's part of loving each other, right? I think I mentioned this in the membership class. John MacArthur, in his book, The Master's Plan for the Church, he gives an illustration of Dizzy Dean, who's a Hall of Fame pitcher. Right, and he got hit with a line drive in the foot. And so he couldn't, when he's going through his motion to land on his foot, he couldn't do it the same after that because he hurt his toe. He couldn't do it. So he would turn his foot and therefore not use his toe for balance when he's throwing the ball. And by that little adjustment in his foot, he ruined his arm. His arm couldn't take the strain from the change in his motion and wrecked it. And he used as an illustration to say, this is how the body is to work together and what happens when we don't do our part. We put more strain on other members of the body. And that will make for an unhealthy church, as it made for an unhealthy arm for him. His body couldn't do what it was supposed to do. And the church won't be able to do what it's supposed to do. If we don't do our part and so strain another part of the body. I think it's a really good illustration that he makes there. And so to that point, yeah, that's right and good. And so in this, though, so we want to be always thinking, what is my part to play? How do I involve myself in the ministry of the church? Because the ministry of the church is the entire church's responsibility as we work together and the body builds itself up in love. And in this, as it says, too, that we grow up into Christ, we become more like Christ in this. We're shaped into Christ as we work together and hold each other accountable and love each other and call each other out of sin, disciple one another, and meet each other's meet each other's needs. So, any other thoughts or comments on this? Okay, all right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We are thankful, Lord, for that you have made us the body together, and of this local expression of the body of Christ. We are grateful for that, Lord, and grateful, as it said, how we have loved each other, and I pray that we grow in that, Lord, in our service and love for one another. We are grateful, Father, for each other, and the relationships how much they mean to us here. Lord, I just pray that we would continue to just be so thankful and grateful and give you the praise for that and recognize the part that we all have to play in building up the body of Christ. And so I ask that you would glorify yourself, Lord, in this, and that as we continue to think through what the church is and what the church is called to and the different aspects of that, Lord, that you would just continue to glorify yourself in us. And grow us in hearts of service to one another, because we recognize that in serving each other, we are serving you. And so, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that. And as we go on into the service, pray that you glorify yourself, and Father, that we would just rest in you for everything. Thank you. Amen.